It was to go coast to coast from LA to New York, and rather than it sort of be the direct route, it was to take on a little bit of what's in America. So it would be, you know, from California, then Death Valley, which is, you know, a lot of it's below sea level, running through there, then cycling up Route 66, which is obviously, you know, the backbone of America, and then going to one of the Great Lakes, Lake Erie, and I was going to row down Lake Erie, just because my cycling may not be that good, but at least I can row. And then I was going to swim down the Hudson towards the Statue of Liberty and end up there in New York, so on the other side. So it's kind of like America's greatest hits without being able to sing or act. I think firstly that seeing somewhere under your own steam is very different to, say, driving along a freeway or going on the train. You definitely have a better mental map and perspective of the place. You know, things that I've done, you know, whether it be in the Atlantic Ocean or Antarctica, you have a different perspective of the scale. And so that was one of the reasons I wanted to do it. The other thing is that in terms of training, I'm very lucky to have been, you know, a sort of endurance athlete for rowing at the Olympics. And if you can keep that topped up, you can lift it to do an event like this, you know, over a relatively, you know, short period of time, a few months, by just stepping out the cycling and the running and getting back into a boat again and doing it. But the things like this, like anyone who's trained for anything, be it a 10K or a marathon, the more preparation and training you put in, the more you'll enjoy the event. And that's the similar with something like this.
So how long then were you preparing for it?
Specifically, maybe 3 or 4 months. I'd run a race called the Marathon de Sable in April, which is a lot of running. So I was fit off the back of that, and then would step it up. And there was, you know, some long days of cycling you do, because that's the thing, that I'll be cycling for sort of 18, 20 hours a day, of which, you know, you have to put in some long days. So I cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats as part of my preparation, and just getting used to spending time in the saddle and basically outside. And very lucky to be able to get to do this in the first place.
So you cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats to prepare?
Yeah, and it's, again, it gives you a very different scale and perspective of our country. You cycle through areas that you go up the A roads, and you wouldn't drive that way. You drive up the M1 or M5 or whatever to get north. So it is great, and then it did seem slightly strange standing at John O'Groats thinking that's just preparation for America, and I'd roundabout be a third of the way through. The scale of the American landscape is phenomenal. You know, a lot's made of America. Only a very small percentage of Americans having passports, and there's a reason, because they have, whether it be Hawaiian beaches, volcanoes and waves, through to the, you know, the intense cold of the Rockies, through to you know, the deep south. They've got a huge amount to offer, and on a bike you can just sort of see it sort of develop in front of you. And there are times when, you know, we went over the Continental Divide, the Rockies that go down America, and just seeing the plains beneath, and you know, the scale of Death Valley, and I never really got to the other side, but the 1,000 or so miles I did was just breathtaking.
And then obviously there was an incident during, which has obviously been well documented. I mean, what can you remember about that?
I can't remember anything about the accident. I was cycling on Route 66. It was. First thing in the morning, it's about 5:30. It was summer, so it was light, and I got hit by a truck. Truck's wing mirror hit me in the back of the head. It was going 75, I was going maybe 20, and then I was in hospital for a week. I was sedated and in and out of consciousness, and then I was in hospital for another couple of months after that, slowly getting back. So I got no memory the first week, and no real memory for about maybe 4 to 5 weeks.
And since then, what's life been like since then?
Life's been different in that brain injury is very different to a normal injury, like breaking your leg, where the doctor will say, okay, you're in plaster for this long, and then the physio rehab, and you'll be able to sort of move through certain criteria as you get better. With a brain injury, it's much more subjective, and that's the harder thing. It's very difficult to show progress to other people. Other people may not believe progress, and also your self-confidence is troubled as well. And plus, I didn't know anyone who'd suffered a brain injury before, so it's, you know, as if I say I had broken a leg, that I've got plenty of mates who've broken legs, and you can say, oh well, I by this point, I was able to do this, and that hasn't been the same. So it has been tricky, but I'm very lucky to have, you know, a really supportive family. The medical doctors I've seen and neurologists have been great, and you know, my wife's due to give birth tomorrow, in fact. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, but she found out she was pregnant whilst I was unconscious in hospital. So it's been, for her, it's been a very tough 8-9 months as well. But hopefully with a good ending this weekend.
I've read various interviews talk about the programme, which is obviously on this evening, on every Thursday, I understand, about the way in which your accidents affected domestic life. And obviously you've talked about how strong you've got the family behind you, and Beverly as well. Mm. How has it impacted on your relationship?
It's tricky. There's one of the things they did positively tell us when we left hospital is that 75% of people who have a brain injury get divorced, because it does change your behaviour. And I've been lucky that Bev was involved with it right from the start, and we are aware of the problems. But it's little things that you do move out of fairly quickly. So when I came home, a lot's been said about, you know, I couldn't be with the kids. That's not true. What happened was that if I was making dinner for the kids, the problem with the frontal lobe injury is that they're sort of associated risk. So there was a fear that I would leave a boiling pot next to the side of the counter, or a knife, and a little girl could just pull a pan of hot water all over herself, or cut herself with a sharp knife. So they needed to make sure that I was thinking one step ahead and moving things out the way that you would naturally do. But that natural sort of pathway is not there, or they can't guarantee it's there, and so you had to be watched for a little bit when I was home, and then after a couple of weeks they realised I was vaguely organised, and that was fine again. But there's a little steps like that from when you first come out to now are different. I've sort of been out of hospital maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and went to Bev, should we watch this film tonight, and held up the DVD, and she goes, we watched that last night. I had no memory of it, and it was The Hangover. It isn't a very complicated film to remember.
Quite an apt one, isn't it? Yeah. Hangover, I couldn't remember it.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember any of it. And we were watching it again, because I said, I haven't seen it. And I go, see, Mike Tyson's done a cameo in this film. She goes, yeah, you said that last night as well. I was like, so things like that, of which don't happen now, but you know, it is a kind of, as the neurologist said, the neurons are coming together, the pathways in the brain are reconnecting, and that's going to take time. So, but I'm every day is better, because you just make sure you look after yourself and get enough rest, and which may not happen when our third kid comes along.
I was
going
to say rest isn't always going to be on the agenda, because it's interesting, because you say earlier on when you've got you have a broken leg, I suppose there's obvious phases of rehabilitation, isn't there? You see the bone stitches together, you're out of the plaster cast, rehab, muscle building, then you're back. It's a bit different with a brain injury, because sometimes the signs aren't always obvious.
No, they aren't at all. And there's two elements. The first one is that if you're walking and talking, people assume you're okay, which is great. There's also times when I thought I've been okay, and looking around at just people who are behaving slightly weirdly. And that's clearly because I was behaving weirdly. But it changes whether, you know, if you've had enough rest, then you'll be fairly on top of things. If you haven't, it has a bigger effect now. So I do need more sleep. But in terms of how lucky I am, and also where I'm going to get to, it is, I believe I will get back to where I was. Now, whether I will or not is going to be known after a couple of years. But if you haven't got that belief, then you're only going to reach a certain point, and people are very quick to impose glass ceilings on you, so you'll only get back to here, and if you take that as read, you will only get back to there. So I'm determined to get back to being able to do what I was doing before, on a partly on a physical level, but also on a being able to juggle whether it's writing or everything else that I used to do. I'm determined to get back to, but it's difficult, because there isn't an objective scale to work against, like there is, like, say, the broken leg, or whether you're working on fitness or something. You can so see where you are very quickly, and that isn't there. And as neurologist said, the brain is very complicated. We don't know much about it. I did say you're the neurologist. I really hope you wouldn't say that.
I just find it. What's the next challenge then? I mean, obviously there's sort of your own individual health challenge, and also what's the next physical challenge in terms of another endurance test?
Well, I think
apart from the new baby.
Yeah, I think first new baby is going to be a test for us all, because we're going to go from 2 to 3. So we're going to go from man to man to zonal marking, which is never always that effective. And then if I do something in the future, it will be a family decision, and has to be real relevance to doing it. Because the one thing that has changed, which I think is a good thing, is that my value of a day has changed over the last year. That, you know, I was a day away from not seeing my kids and wife again, and so, you know, that day, every day is important. There has to be a reason to do something now, which is great. But at the same time, I wasn't anywhere remote. I was hit on a public highway in America, same way I could be hit on, you know, the A4 outside the studios. It's just, you know, there is an associated risk when you're not in control of everything, and you can't be in control of other people's actions. So it'll have to be a conscious decision, but either way, I want to get back to being able to do what I was doing before, you know, mentally and physically. Whether I choose to do that in the end is another question, but at least I want to get back to being at that level.
And we can watch your exploits.
Yeah, tonight at 9 p.m. on Discovery is the trip across America where the accident happened, and the next week is called the coldest race on Earth, a cycling trip to the Yukon, which I did afterwards, as much to show I was back and that, you know, it doesn't end because of an accident. Whether you get back to doing what you can do is different, but it doesn't end, and so this was going to be a good marker of my recovery.